My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into our Warriors Weekly podcast. It's John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz for 95.7 The Game. It's between Game 2 and Game 3 of the Warriors and the Kings. Kings are up 2-0 in the series, and the Warriors are going to be without Draymond Green for Game 3 as he was suspended by the NBA late on Tuesday night. For the incident involving Domantas Sabonis at the end of Game 2 with about 7 minutes to go in Game 2, suspended for Game 3 for stepping on the chest of Domantas Sabonis. That announcement made by the league late last night after it had been reported, Steiny, that there probably wasn't going to be a suspension. So this one was a little bit of a stunner just based on the fact that it had been reported that there was likely not to be any further punishment beyond the flagrant two and ejection that Draymond faced at the end of that game. Just your initial reaction to the timing of everything. I know the Kings put out an injury update that listed Sabonis as questionable. I kind of wondered, as part of this, and there's so many different layers to it, I wonder if maybe there was some pressure by the Kings to put on the league as to, hey, this guy might not be able to play in Game 3. I think everybody expects him to play in Game 3. But just your initial thoughts on Draymond being suspended.
Yeah, I was definitely a little bit surprised. And then the way it all came down makes it, you know, makes you raise your eyebrows a little bit. You know, kicking him out for the last 7 minutes turned out to be a killer for the Warriors. And that was a pretty significant punishment. So once we got to yesterday night, I figured we were done with it pretty much. And I've heard this a lot already, and I truly believe it. I think what, and I think the league almost should have indicated in the memo that this was part of it. But I do think what happened after the stomp was a part of this too, with Draymond and kind of inciting the crowd, standing up on the bench, clearly using profanity directed at the fans, screaming. That to me was, I don't know if it was almost as bad, but Draymond was out of control at that point, I felt like. And, you know, Adam Silver was in the building. And I think the league could have alleviated some of the questioning of this suspension had they said something like, for this and the behavior after the stomp.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from on that. Although I'm gonna push back on the behavior after the fact from being in the building. I mean, okay, You've got 17,000-18,000 fans basically giving them the bird. Right. And yes, was he demonstrative? Was he using some foul language? Was he egging them on in a sense? Did he get put up on the scoreboard in the building and basically give them a, hey, a smile and a peace sign, like, right. Hey, I'm here for all of it. I actually thought that was harmless, to be honest. And I don't think he did cross any lines in that moment, considering the edge and the emotion that was in that building. And I've heard a lot of people say, hey, this is also part, and you're right, the league didn't. And I wonder if the league can even acknowledge the fact that that would be part of the suspension when he didn't really. It's not like he went at a fan. Sure, was he yelling at the fans? Yes. But did he go into the stands on somebody or something like that? So I don't know. From being in the building, I disagree with the notion that – and the other thing, yeah, you've heard he did it in front. Who cares if he did it in front of the commissioner? Like, who cares? If like that well,
maybe,
to me like, –
maybe the commissioner.
Yeah, well, you know,
honestly,
what? You know what? And I'm not defending Draymond Green, but Adam Silver's a joke. Like, I don't care if I'm offending Adam Silver at that particular, like, that's not even something I'm thinking about if I'm Draymond Green. Like, I don't know. You look at all the different, you know, issues that the league has had with competitiveness and different things. And I don't want to make it about Adam Silver. We don't even have to necessarily go down that road, but I want to kind of bring it back to something we talked about yesterday when I was in for Willard and we were doing the changeover, because to me, because I'm going to flip it back the other way. I don't think the crowd stuff should matter, but the thing that I couldn't get my head around after game two and in the, you know, in between was, to me, if it was intentional, and like if he intentionally, which it sounds like everybody agreed that it was, I thought there was a pathway for Draymond to say, hey, Sabonis was grabbing my ankle. I kind of lost my balance. I could have taken an awkward step away from him, but because he was still grabbing my ankle, I just said, you know what? I just had to put my foot down on him in the way that I did. Whether you believe it or not, I think there was a little bit of a plausible deniability there from Draymond. But if you believe that he just took liberty to step on his chest, then I absolutely think it's within the realm to have that be such an egregious act that it winds up being a suspension for another game. And that was kind of the thing I was kicking around to you guys. Like, well, if it was intentional, like, to me, that is malicious and beyond just a traditional foul. So just your take kind of on that part.
Well, I think what happened is, you know, they get tangled up and Draymond goes to get up, and then he realizes that Sabonis has his leg. And so he kind of, it seemed like he tried to yank it to start getting it out of there, and he had a little trouble. And it was like one of those things where it's like, hey, and then you free it. You kind of free your foot. And that's when you're like, that's when the emotion is like, get it at, like, and I know we're breaking this down ridiculously, but you know, you can put yourself in positions like this. You yank that foot out, and then you realize what the guy was trying to do, which was hold on to your foot, and you're just going to give him one.
Yeah, you're like, F you. It's like an F you.
Right, exactly. And the thing is it did look pretty bad. Like, once, if you just eliminated the Sabonis hold and the, you know, locking up his ankle and just picked it up from the part where Draymond started, it does look pretty bad. But then that ignores everything that happened before. You know, it's funny, we're probably going to do 4 hours on it. And like, I don't know. This happens six times a season, and six times a season, we split the baby. Draymond's getting picked on. He's not getting picked on. The refs have an inform. The refs don't. You know, that's Draymond being. It's like, honestly, JD, to me, it doesn't matter anymore. It really doesn't. The only thing that matters is it's happened again, and the Warriors got to play tomorrow night without Draymond Green. And to me, that's the biggest thing. And why has that happened? It's because this is 12 years in the making of where Draymond Green is in his career, essentially. And we're going to disagree with some, we're going to agree with some, but we got to acknowledge that it always happens, and it'll probably happen again.
No doubt. And I think that's the point at which we should move the conversation forward. I do want to get your take on, because this is another thing that has, you know, people have bristled about. The NBA has said that part of the suspension was based on Draymond's history of unsportsmanlike acts. And I'll say this, you know, a lot of people have said, well, that in and of itself is BS. Like, how can you suspend him for that when you already kicked him out of the game for what he did at the end of the game? Basically, that the other stuff shouldn't be in play. And where I disagree on the notion of what he did with the crowd should matter, how can prior acts not come into play in this whole thing? Like, to me, that's why he got suspended in the finals in 2016, was because they allowed him to basically skate on what happened with Steven Adams in the series prior. And at that point in time, 7 years ago, the league kind of laid it down with Draymond to say, hey, look, this is the last time we're giving you a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. You got to clean it up a little bit. And he still found himself in that situation with LeBron, and they didn't allow for any leniency in that instance.
Well, but let's not forget that suspension that year came from the point system. So the point system is a built-in mechanism to penalize past behavior.
Sure.
Even though it's in the immediate past. So, you know, when people get upset for Draymond getting suspended for game, what was it, 5 in the finals?
Yes. Yeah.
When people get upset about that, I'm always quick to correct them that, well, that was just the final penalty point that put him over.
So, right. But they didn't give him a point. Enough. Right. They could have given him, I think, 2 points in the Steven Adams deal instead of 1. They didn't.
Right.
And so with LeBron, you were getting no benefit of the doubt.
Exactly. So in essence, the point system is proof that the league wants to. Now, I hope I'm understanding. Like, the point system ensures that past behavior, if it accumulates to a certain point, will get disciplined or punished.
Okay, so do you think it's fair or unfair that the league put that in the press release as the reason, the prior acts? Because this is, he got ejected from game 2. He's got 2 flagrant points. If he gets another flagrant 2, he misses a game at any point in the playoffs. Because I think it's once you get to 4.
Well, actually, you know what? You know what, JD? Can you recap that real quick again? So he ends up getting a flagrant 2.
Yeah, so which is an automatic ejection from that game.
Okay.
And he has 2
right.
points, and I believe 4 points in a playoff in the entire playoffs means you get. So if he gets 2 more flagrant 1s, like, let's just say the Warriors come back and go to the finals, he's got 1 more flagrant foul 1 he can get away with without being suspended again for a game at some point down the line. So I guess the devil's advocate, and what I've heard a lot here in the last 12 hours or so, is, well, wait a minute, you kicked him out of the game and you're putting him in jeopardy of getting kicked out again down the line. And now he's got to miss game 3, which is, for all intents and purposes, a must win for the Warriors. So that's, you know, and in the release, they say, hey, prior bad acts or unsportsmanlike acts are part of the reason why he's missing game 3 in addition to missing the end of game 2, which clearly his loss, as you laid out yesterday, the Warriors couldn't stop the Kings when they'd been doing a pretty good job of stopping the Kings up until that point in that game.
Right. Right. I mean, yeah, it's just, has the league ever officially made it clear that when they mete out punishment, prior stuff matters? You know what I mean? Like,
matters. To me, like, I just sort of imply, well, what are we doing? Of course it matters.
Right.
Right. And again, I'll say it. Like, I don't think the stuff with the crowd should necessarily matter. They didn't say the stuff with the crowd mattered. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. I do wonder if there's a little bit of something going on between the Kings trying to push this narrative that Sabonis might miss the game, and that should mean, well, if Draymond caused our guy to miss the game, then he should miss the game, although they know he's probably going to play. Like, I wonder what those conversations, because clearly there was some kind of a shift between what was reported in the afternoon and what ultimately wound up happening at 8 o'clock last night. So for the parts that I throw out, to me, the incident itself, I do think you can make the case warranted more than just the ejection based on if you think it was intentional, which I think everybody for the most part agrees that it was. I was kind of making the case that the Warriors' case in this thing would be that it's not intentional, and that's maybe how you get off, or that he didn't really have another place to go. And then the prior bad acts, to me, or unsportsmanlike acts, is like duh. Like everybody's everybody's reputation in life plays a role in how they're viewed or how they're how they're disciplined. Let's say if you're somebody that finds themselves in tough positions over and over and over, then you're going to get less leniency from the world, basically.
Right. Well, the other thing I wonder, and
whether it's fair or not, that's the position he's put himself in.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. And when you have something like this, you're also inviting all kinds of speculation. And one thing that's kind of crossed my mind is there's a narrative out here for sure that the Warriors for his entire career have enabled Draymond Green. They've never lowered the boom, if you will. And it started, you know, it started early in his career. And the most recent thing was when he punched Jordan Poole in practice and it was caught on video and it looked really bad. And the Warriors said, we'll deal with it. Hit the pike, everybody, essentially.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if the league sometimes says, you know what? This is the time because, you know, they have more authority than the Warriors. You know what I mean? Not that the Warriors would suspend him for this, but just, you know what? Almost subconsciously, you know, you guys let this guy get away with so much. We can't. We're the NBA. You guys can do what you want, but we're not letting this stuff go. And yeah, right. I mean, you're right. The idea that, I mean, reputations are always brought to the present. There's no doubt about it. I mean, so yes, I mean, what's going on with Draymond, his entire career absolutely affected the decision. And now we know that the league basically confirmed that. Now, what are the like, I'm always interested in, wait a minute, because now what's going to happen is, so wait a minute, you're punishing him for stepping over LeBron James 6 years ago? You're penalizing him for punching Jordan Poole? Like, what, you know? Yeah, I guess they are.
And Steven Adams.
Let's just make it all clear. Right.
And Steven Adams and the Brandon Clark incident in the playoffs last year in game one. He got ejected for the jersey grab in midair and got into it with the fans in Memphis. It was very, you know, what happened in Sacramento was very similar to what happened in Memphis in game one last year. But I don't know that the fan thing is part of it. I know a lot of people in, you know, I think people in Sacramento felt some kind of way about that. But again, you can't have it both ways where your crowd is juiced to that point and then you don't, and then somebody can't, in essence, mix it up with them back the other way. Let's move on in the sense of, and if this was the regular season, Steiny, I'd be more open to having the conversation about, well, what are his teammates thinking? And you know, is this another scenario where they've been, the Warriors don't have any time to think about that. They're down 0-2 in the series. They basically have a must win in game three. And they may feel that way, that they're being let down or not. But I think now one of the big themes going into game three is, does this Warriors team let go of the rope or not? Because this series, as you know, up against it as the Warriors are now, and more so with Draymond out for game three, you know, they still have to try to come up with a last stand here on Thursday night. And to me, it becomes, and I think this does play with the where are they at with Draymond, this team's at a point where they could just give up, I think, right now. Or they can find a way to get one, get him back, and then I think it may flip a little bit toward, you know what, we might not win a title this year, but we're going to knock these people, we're going to knock these guys out, and we're going to make a statement for Draymond that we're still not going to fray at the seams in this series. And so I think that's kind of where the Warriors are at right now. How do you see, before we get into how the Warriors overcome it on the court, just how do you see that, you know, they've been at all these different breaking points this year and they haven't quite broken. This is another one where they might break. It's like going into that New Orleans halftime when they look like they were about to just come apart at the seams.
Yeah, I think that's I think it's fair. I mean, you know, if you're a media guy and you're trying to build up the story, I mean, look, this is it. Like, this could be it. If the Warriors go out there tomorrow and just kind of, you know, maybe, even if they come out with the best intentions and they get beat, like, it's it. That might be it.
Yep.
Like, everything, not just the season, like, everything might be over. Now, is that dramatic? Well, it could be dramatic because it might not be over. And even if they lose, it might not be over. But you like, that's the thing about where they're at right now. You got to allow for the fact that if they get beat tomorrow night, and then eventually lose the series, all bets are off at that point with what happens in the next 6 months.
Absolutely. And so, I mean, it reminds me a little bit of, you remember the Lakers were the defending champs. They went to Oklahoma City and I think it was Andrew Bynum lost his cool. They were getting blown out.
And, you know, something with Berea too happened.
Yeah. And so it was the other one. I mean, this is going way back, but even the Shaq and Kobe Lakers, you know, they won the three in a row. And then the 2003, I remember they played the Spurs, I think, who won the title that year in the second round. And the Spurs just beat them in the closeout game by 30. And it was just in Staples Center. And it was just the end. They just didn't, they didn't have any more fight. At that point,
and they were champions, right?
They were three-time defending champions the night that the Spurs blew them out and basically ended that series.
And you know what, JD? I'm not making a prediction here, but you know what?
Look at Brooklyn last year when Boston stomped on Brooklyn when they had all the drama and swept them.
Well, that's kind of what I'd be a little worried about if I'm a Warrior fan is Draymond. It's not just Draymond. It feels like this whole year has been a year of frustration. And I could see a scenario tomorrow if things don't go well where more than another guy or more than one guy kind of loses it. Like, to me, I shouldn't even say this, but, you know, it feels to me like Clay's walking an edge. You know, he feels disrespected, I think, in a way, or
no doubt.
Whatever's going on, or he's not ready for this to go a certain way. And he knows that he's susceptible to not playing. I just think you always say it matters how it ends. And to me, this is the closest that they've ever looked to. Could they get beat by 25 tomorrow? Like, of course not. Well, we'll see.
Well,
you know, the Warriors are not as good a team without Draymond Green. They're just not.
No. And look, the story of this series to me to this point has been when the Warriors have played well offensively, their defense has been terrible. When they've played better defensively, their offense has been terrible. And they just have not been able to gain any connectivity. I do think overall, not late in the game, but overall up until the final 5 minutes, they've done a pretty good job defending the Kings.
Yeah.
Does that change though now without Draymond? Because the Kings are primed, and I've said this to you a couple of times. The Kings are kind of like the Warriors in the sense that every three or four games, they just have a game where they make 23s and put up 130 effortlessly. And maybe that's less likely to happen in the playoffs, but the Warriors have to figure out a way to, for one night, forget about the everything else, which is, you know, a lot easier said than done considering everything that's happened this season and over the last few years. But what the Warriors' goal is going to have to be for one night to just find a way to win. And in reality, this is the one game of the whole series where the team that's up 2-0 doesn't have to win. Like, this is the one game to play with, if you will. And I'm not saying the Kings are going to have that mentality, but they're a young team in this position for the first time. And it's the whole, hey, you can go for the kill or you can let up a little bit. And look, we've seen teams before let up a little bit, and there's the desperation from the team that's down. And all of a sudden it's 2-1 and it's a different series. This Kings team doesn't strike me as the kind of team that's going to let up, if anything. They strike me as the Kings team that might perform a lot better, kind of smelling the blood in the water a little bit.
Well, that I do think Mike Brown could be a factor here because I got to believe from the minute they won that game last night or two nights ago, he was saying game three, he's sending a message, don't let up. Look, they win that game. You know what I mean? I mean, this series is not over. We all know it. Now, last night, they get the news, no Draymond. I see Mike Brown pounding a message to his team that this is the biggest game of the series. And not so much that if they lose it, oh, my God, but just guys, you have a golden opportunity. You're up 2-0 against the Warriors and they're missing Draymond Green. We're a better team than them. We can't, like, and I think this is where Mike Brown, he could actually get this young team to realize that they got something here and they come out and actually play with their hair on fire rather than coming out, well, we're in Chase Center now and let's see what happens. No, you're better than the Warriors tonight without Draymond Green for them.
Yeah, and it's interesting. The Kings have had a problem this year with opponent star players being out and them not playing as well or letting it, like, that's been kind of a thing for them this year. So, I mean, we'll see. My guess, Steiny, from the Sacramento point of view, and then I want to wrap up. I want to get into what the Warriors can actually do in game three here, because I think that's important. But it's, to me, it's a matter of when you look at this thing from the Warriors standpoint, it's a matter of, I think it's a, the Kings to me are going to play the loose, we're going to try to win this game solely on our offense tomorrow. I think that's their MO. They might be able to. I think they could go regular. Like, to me, their let up is going to be offense only, which they did a lot in the regular season. But if they make 23s, to your point, they might be able to do it. All right, let's wrap it up on this note, and because I do want to get into some specifics on this, because it's as important as anything. We talked about who should the Warriors play moving forward and all of this, and I said, hey, they got to get tighter with the rotation. No Kuminga, maybe you're playing eight. The suspension changes this. I mean, Jonathan Kuminga is going to have to play now. And you know, this is an opportunity, I think, for him after not playing well in the first couple of games. And so I think Steve Kerr's going to have to rely on him. I think he's going to have to rely on Anthony Lamb probably a little bit. I think he may have to rely on Jamichael Green. I think Moses Moody was already going to play. I mean, in a sense, it becomes kind of a, hey, don't have a choice but to play who we've got type of a game, because you're missing so much with Draymond.
Yeah, not only that, this is an all-hands-on-deck game. And I, like, you know, people might be thinking, you know what, Kuminga's going to get a shot. And he will. He'll get two shots. But that doesn't mean he's going to play 25 minutes.
Right. Maybe, If he plays well early, he might.
But he might be on a shorter leash tonight, because Kerr's at the point where he's like, well, if Jonathan's not giving it to me, I'm going to Lamb. And Lamb's got 4 minutes. And if he doesn't do it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm going to Jamichael Green.
Exactly.
Or I'm playing Peyton at the four the whole game, or you know, whatever it is.
Right.
And so I think that's part of it, and that's where the Warriors are going to have to try and flip this thing as far as getting back into the series and moving forward. So we'll call it on that note, I guess, and look ahead here. I mean, do the Warriors have any fight left? I think that's the question, or is it all just been a little bit too much? I think you kind of have to throw the rest of all of the adjustments and different things out the window. I think this game even more becomes about emotion and trying to use the emotion to get them one, get it to 2-1. And then if you get it to 2-1 and Draymond Green's coming back, all of a sudden you've got action going into Sunday and everybody's kind of fired up. And then if you can get that one, I think all the pressure shifts back to Sacramento. And I think there's going to be a microscope on Sabonis these next couple of games as well, whether he plays or doesn't play, because, you know, we should have pointed this out. I didn't do it earlier. He's been getting away with some stuff in this series, and the aggressor always does. And Draymond's used to being that guy that gets away with stuff. But I'm fascinated to see how the next couple of games are officiated from that standpoint, because if the Warriors have a beef, it's that they feel that the touch fouls have gone against them and the Kings have been able to get away with some extra physicality. Steiny,
real quick. And lastly, I want to see how Sabonis plays, because he's going to be treated pretty poorly by the Warrior fans. So yes. You're right about being, you said, under microscope with the refs. He's also going to be under the microscope with the fans. So he's going to hear it tomorrow. I'm interested to see how he responds.
Yeah, and how many Kings fans are going to be there? There were not many Warrior fans. And you got to wonder, you know, are there some Warrior fans that jump ship because of this news and sell their tickets straight up? And I think there's going to be a lot of Kings fans that are looking to go. I think a lot of Warrior fans are just kind of, they go quick. And so many times this year, you know, I'll end it on this. So many times this year, it's been the Warriors play terrible on the road, and then they've come home at this breaking point, and they've won the games they have to win at home. And it's funny. Here we are in the playoffs, and it's that again. All right, for Steiny, I'm JD. Our Warriors Weekly podcast for 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Norse Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Norse.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.